I'm going to focus my presentation on the current state of the art, what we know about estimates for Europe. And in my presentation, I'm going to try to answer three main questions. You can see here the questions that I'm going to address in my presentation. The first one, do we need to know the extent of the problem of female genital mutilation in Europe? The second one, the second question I'm going to address is, do we know how many women and girls are currently affected by FGM in the EU? And then finally, that should be the third question, what should be done to increase the knowledge on female genital mutilation in the EU? So as you learned from the previous presentation, female genital mutilation is not only a problem basically for the African continent, but it has also come to Europe due to migration. So my first question, do we need to know the extent? Is there an urge to know how many girls and women are living in Europe with female genital mutilation? And is there a need to know how many girls are at risk that are living in the EU? One of the arguments, I would say, that we need to know the extent of the problem in Europe is that it's difficult to draw any conclusions on the necessity, the efficiency, the efficacy, and even future actions in Europe towards female genital mutilation if we do not have any reliable estimates on the prevalence data in the European Union. If there is an absence of reliable data in the EU, it's very difficult to draw any conclusions on how effective current interventions are in the European Union. It's also very difficult to say anything about trends, you know, is the prevalence of female genital mutilation in the European Union, is it increasing or decreasing, to assess any current trends if we do not have any figures. It's also very useful to track progress of female genital mutilation prevention activities in the field in the European Union. It can also inform decision-making and policy-making. And it is also very important, I believe, to determine resource allocation in times of financial crisis. I think this is really also an important argument to really work on reliable estimates on FGM in the European Union. I also think it's important to mention here that any prevalence estimates or estimates of risk of girls and women at risk on female genital mutilation in the European Union, data can always be used also for other purposes, let's say for political purposes or ideological purposes, so they should be treated with caution, these prevalence estimates. So the need to know the extent of the problem of female genital mutilation in the European Union, it's not just me who is, you know, who's saying that we need the reliable data. It's also a request that was formulated by the European Commission and notably by the communication by the European Commission to the European Parliament and the Council of Europe, which was published in November 2013, where explicitly it was mentioned that in Europe, in the European Union, there is a need to know the magnitude of the problem of female genital mutilation. It was also requested by the European Parliament in several of their resolutions. I believe the first resolution, I can't really remember, I think it was early 2000s, that the first resolution on female genital mutilation was issued by the European Parliament. It was also a request by the End FGM campaign by Amnesty International that is currently coming to an end. But it's also something that is requested by many national governments, but also by civil society organizations. So those working in the field, they also need comparable and reliable data in order to prove that the interventions that they are doing are really efficient. As I already said, in times of financial crisis where resources are limited, it is really important that we know where to target the resources, and then evidence can be helpful. Reliable estimates can be helpful to target better those limited resources. So, to answer my first question, do we need to know the extent? I would definitely say yes, we need to know the extent of female genital mutilation in Europe, even if it's in pockets, as the previous speaker mentioned. Then I will address my second question. At the moment, do we know how many women and girls are affected by female genital mutilation in the European Union? And by saying affected, I mean this means that the women and girls who have undergone female genital mutilation, but also women and girls who are at risk of female genital mutilation. Now, the only figure that is currently circulating in the European Union, you can see it here, is the 500,000 women and girls that was mentioned in the European Parliament resolution of 2012. And it also says, if I'm not mistaken, there are 180,000 girls at risk, which is mentioned in that specific resolution. Now, this figure is a little bit problematic because this is not based on surveys, it's not based on research, so it's kind of guesstimate, I would say. And that is a little bit problematic, of course. I refer here to the demographic and health surveys and the mixed surveys in Africa, which the previous speaker also mentioned. This type of surveys to measure the extent of female genital mutilation are not available in the European Union. So we do not have any household surveys that are repeated every 5 years in the European Union that really target female genital mutilation, of course. So it's difficult to assess trends and to have reliable comparable estimates in the European Union. Nevertheless, in some European countries, there were national prevalence studies that were issued. And you can see here that these type of studies were done in 8 EU countries, notably in Belgium, Germany, France, Hungary, Ireland, Italy, the Netherlands, and the UK. And there are forthcoming studies in Portugal, Sweden, and the UK. The UK, they published last year, I think, an interim report, which was an update of a previous prevalence study, so they will most probably, I hope, issue their final report this year. So these are studies that are done at national level. There are some issues with those prevalence studies, which I will address later. So you can see here a table that is detailing a little bit the numbers of women with FGM and the numbers of girls at risk of FGM by country. I should mention here that these data are based on a research which I took part in that was done for the European Institute for Gender Equality. It was a study that was done to map female genital mutilation in the European Union, so in each of the European member states. And part of that study focused on mapping what was done with regard to prevalence in those member states. And it was updated last year. So these are the most recent figures that we could get hold of. You can see here that I did not mention any total because there are some issues with regard to the methodology that was used, which makes that we cannot really make a total for all the European countries. So the methodologies that were used in these prevalence studies is the extrapolation of African prevalence data, which is a method where DHS prevalence data are used of the countries of origin and they are extrapolated to the female migrant population living in an EU member state. So that is a bit the basic methodology that is used in those prevalence studies. The data sources that are used here in the European member states are population census data, which contain the number of female migrants from FGM risk countries and that are resident in an EU country. And occasionally, these population census data are complemented with other data sources, for example, data sources on asylum seekers, refugees, undocumented migrants, and second and third generation of girls and women. Now, there are a number of issues, as I already briefly mentioned, a number of issues with those prevalence studies that were done in the EU countries. I have listed those limitations here, or some of the limitations. So the census data themselves, they may lack aggregation by African country of origin, country of birth, and length of stay in a European Union country, which are important indicators to really measure the magnitude of FGM. Also, those estimations, prevalence studies, are in many countries not repeated in certain moments in time, so it is very difficult to assess trends, to say, for example, for a European country, that the prevalence of FGM is increasing or decreasing. Also, the prevalence studies that were done, they use varying definitions of girls at risk. The census data themselves, they do not reflect recent changes in the migrant population, so that is also a limitation of using the census data as a data source for this type of method. Asylum seekers, refugees, undocumented migrants, that population is also contributing to the magnitude of the problem of FGM in a certain country, but those populations, hidden populations, are most often not taken into account in any estimate in the European countries. Influence of migration is a really important issue that should be taken into account to have a clear idea of the magnitude of the problem of FGM in the EU, which is very difficult to assess and which is, in most cases of the prevalence study, not taken into account. And also ethnicity is not taken into account when prevalence studies are done. As you might know, female genital mutilation, and also Claudia Kappa mentioned it, is more attached to ethnicity rather than to nationality. And this is also posing a problem when we try to estimate the prevalence of FGM in any EU country. Then there are some issues also with assessing the girls at risk, the number of girls at risk. Currently, it's only in 5 EU countries that studies have attempted to assess the number of girls at risk. That is, you can see it here in Belgium, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, and the UK. And this is an update that was done last year, also for the European Institute for Gender Equality. There are also some issues when you try to assess the girls, the prevalence of FGM, the girls at risk among minors, and that include some important questions that need to be addressed. First question is, are second and third generation girls still at risk? And if so, how high is that risk? Is that risk decreasing with the second generation, with the third generation girls? How can we include the undocumented migrants, which is a population that is quite hidden, and so it requires specific methods to really have an idea of how high the prevalence might be and how important that portion of the female population is, and also how to assess the influence of migration. This is also something that needs to be addressed. What are the indicators to really assess the influence of migration, and how does this migration influences the rethinking of female genital mutilation? So there's currently, I think, still a big lack of evidence on the influence of migration on attitudes and behavior with regard to female genital mutilation. There are a number of other studies and assessments that can be used to quantify the magnitude of female genital mutilation, and those have been done in the past. This review is based on the study that we did for the European Institute for Gender Equality in 2012, so you can see it here, and there are surveys among health professionals that might be done very locally, for example, in a hospital or, for example, in a specific region, so they are not really reliable estimates, national representative estimates, but really very local. Surveys are also done for example, among teachers or social workers or civil society organizations that do some surveys to really have an idea of the importance of female genital mutilation in a specific community, in a city or in a region or in a country. The assessment of the number of asylum requests can also give insights in the magnitude of the problem. Assessment of number of registered births in families from FGM risk countries. Prevalence of women with FGM in asylum centers can also be assessed. And also just counting heads, as I call it. So assessment of the number of women from countries where FGM is practiced that are living in an EU country can also give you some insights of the magnitude of the problem. Again, there are a number of issues with these assessment and records. Most of these records are not kept systematically, so there is no real systematic data collection in European countries, which gives, of course, which have consequences if you really want to come up with a number. A lot of these data sources, databases, also lack aggregations, and they are mostly very much dispersed. So they are dispersed all over a country, and there is no real collation of the data at national level, which also has as a consequence that you cannot give any national representative numbers. And then also, if records on female genital mutilation are kept or it's professionals who have to really register, for example, in a hospital, the type of FGM. Most often these health professionals or other professionals, they lack the knowledge or very in-depth knowledge on female genital mutilation, on the types of female genital mutilation. And so the data recording will also have some issues with that. If they are not trained to keep records, it is problematic. So to answer my second question, do we know how many women and girls are affected in the European Union? I would say at European Union scale, the answer is negative. We do not know. Because the knowledge on national prevalence is only in a few European countries available, 8 of the 28 EU countries. There are no ongoing systematic representative surveys on female genital mutilation prevalence in any of the member states, as we have the DHS and the mixed data in Africa. There are various, the data sources are very varied, and aggregations that are used are also very varied, which makes it very difficult to come up with a global estimate for the EU. The potential of the administrative data sources is underused, and so an estimation of a total in the European Union is not possible. And so to come to my final question, what is done to fill that knowledge gap? In that communication that I mentioned before from the European Commission, one of the measures that was really proposed was to develop a common methodology and indicators to measure the prevalence of female genital mutilation and to estimate the number of women and girls at risk. So this is really a request from the European Commission that was mentioned in their strategy. What is done at the moment? The European Institute for Gender Equality last year finished a study on developing a common methodology to estimate the number of girls at risk in the European Union. So that study is finished. It hasn't been published yet. I learned yesterday in the European Commission that the report will be published April 2015. So then you will have an idea of what methodology can be used to estimate the number of girls at risk. You will not get a total number of the girls at risk in the EU, but at least you will have a step-by-step guide, and then each country can really try to estimate the number of girls at risk. And then I think a second important study that is financed by the European Commission is it's financed by the DAPHNE program, which is a specific program on violence against women and children. And that project is really focusing on developing a methodology to estimate the prevalence, so to estimate how many girls and women have undergone female genital mutilation in the EU. This is a two-year project which is coordinated by the Ghent University, where I work, in collaboration with Armel and Marie, where the methodology will be tested in France, and it's also in collaboration with Bicocca University in Milano, and it will also be tested in Italy. And so hopefully in 2 years' time we will have a methodology that we can propose that can be used in each European member state. So this is what's currently be done to really fill the knowledge gap. If you want to learn more about all these studies and the studies of the European Institute for Gender Equality, I have mentioned the sources here in my presentation, and I believe the presentations will be distributed later on, so if you want you can just check more details on these studies from these sources. Thank you very much for your attention.